Hey, welcome to the Pachanga and Possibility Podcast, the podcast where we celebrate the power of healing and transformation. I am your host, Natalie Calzadilla. Each week, I'll be interviewing experts that will inspire you to discover your soul's purpose and create a fulfilling life. I'll also be sharing some spiritual coaching along the way and personal adventures as I enter this new phase in my life as a mother and entrepreneur. All right, mi gente, grab your cafecito and a notebook. Let's get started. Wow, welcome to the first episode. I can't believe this is finally happening. I've been trying to launch this podcast, I don't even know for how many months. I got this idea at the end of last year. It originally was going to be more of a YouTube channel, but I decided that I like the podcast format better because I don't have to do my makeup or get dressed. So this is what it is. And oh yeah, so what happened was I found out that I got pregnant. And that pretty much delayed all my plans for launching this podcast, but it was also a good inspiration. But I was on the fence about whether launching this before or after I had the baby, and a lot of it was contingent upon how good I felt while being pregnant. So right out the door, I'm going to tell you that I am 8 months pregnant and I can't breathe out of my nose. Because apparently when you're pregnant, your body has extra fluid, not only around your ankles, but everywhere. And it turned out that I didn't have seasonal allergies because they came too early and they have not left yet. And spring has come and gone. So if you hear me with allergy sniffles, I apologize, as this microphone's probably going to pick it up, but I am going to do my best to edit these things out. Yep, did you hear that? I'm trying to breathe. I think I have like one nostril open right now. Anyways, so this is Pachanga and Possibility, and it's going to be a podcast that talks about healing and transformation. And the reason why I'm so passionate about this is because I am a life coach and a shamanic practitioner, as well as an artist and illustrator. But I am passionate about two things, which is creativity and healing. And I want to use this podcast as a platform to educate anybody who's interested in the world of healing and transformation for either bettering themselves or to maybe pursue it as a life purpose. The reason why I titled this Pachanga and Possibility first is because it represents kind of my bilingual Cuban American roots of having a bilingual title. And more specifically, the word pachanga is another way of saying fiesta, which is party. And you can go to a fiesta, but if you go to a pachanga, you know that party was extra, extra, extra good. So usually a pachanga, there's a lot of music and dancing, and it's just like pachanga means like the party was good, right? You could have gone to a fiesta, it may have not been good, but if you went to a pachanga, you know the shit was on fire. And the reason why I chose the word pachanga with possibility was because when you embark on any sort of shadow work or transformation work, it is not easy. And I want to celebrate all of you for having the courage to do the work, right? The work is known as any really deep, difficult, introspective work that requires a lot of commitment, and it's not easy. And I want to really celebrate everybody's path on for healing, and any little success that you have deserves a pachanga. And then the beautiful part is that when we are on our healing journeys, we are able to create more bandwidth for possibility, right? That's the main purpose for healing, that we're able to kind of shut out all of the nonsense, all of the negative self-beliefs, and really make room in your mind and in your heart for possibility. And that can be just maybe bringing in the right life partner. It could mean starting your own business. It could mean finally moving up in your career. It could be just showing up as a better human or a better parent. It just means that you've opened up more space in your reality to be more, to see more, to feel more, to accept more, to love more. And that, my friends, is the essence of Pachanga and possibility. So a little bit about me. My name is Natalie Calzadilla. I am 39 years old and I am expecting my first child, a baby girl. I'm currently 8 months pregnant. And my due date is July 5th. I was born and raised in Miami, Florida, and I currently live about an hour north now of Miami, Florida, as my boyfriend and I, for obvious reasons, moved in together. And we live with his beautiful 5-year-old daughter, Akasha, and his 8-year-old schnauzer, miniature schnauzer named Hanzo. The dog is amazing. And I'm so excited I inherited his beautiful family. We are expecting this little bundle of joy soon. So I'm sure that the release of these podcast episodes are going to be a little sporadic, as I don't know how I'm going to be feeling on a day-by-day basis and how I'm going to handle this transition from no baby to baby. But I'm going to make it happen. And the other thing that's the beauty of all of this moment and stage in my life is that I launched this right now because I'm going on maternity leave. So I'm going to finally not have a 9-to-5 for 6 months, and I'm going to milk it for all it's worth. And that means that I'm focusing on the baby and on my business and on really showing up for this podcast and creating something that can be of value to you guys. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now in my personal life. So the reason, the real deep, dark, meaningful story behind why I created the podcast, right? So we know at a super, you know, at a surface level, it's about healing and transformation, right? But what happened? Why? Like, how did I get on this path? Why am I so passionate about this? And it involves a few stories starting around 2012. So in the spiritual community, they, you know, people talk about like, oh, I woke up, you know, at this year, at this time in my life. And there are even, you know, those memes about being woke and this and that. But really, it's kind of what that means for me was kind of like when my life went from 3D to like 5D. And that's also a woo-woo reference. Let me back that up a little bit. It was like I was seeing life like on a regular old school like TV, like those big boxes, the old school TVs. And all of a sudden I bought like an HD crazy TV, and now I can see everything. And I was like just so present in my life because I was able to turn off all the noise that was going on in my mind and in my emotional body. So for me, that transition was in 2012. So what happened in 2012 was that I started attending a meditation circle, and I found out about a spiritual counselor, and he was the one facilitating these meditation circles that were really helping me out big time, because I now had a place to go to that was not church, but yet was a spiritual community that I felt very at home at. And I started taking different classes like Reiki and just learning everything spirituality from A to Z. And simultaneously, my life was still falling apart in the sense that emotionally I was really unhappy. So my career has been in higher education administration. I've always worked for a university since I was about 19 years old. I was fortunate because I got into a career that was very stable and I was doing pretty damn good at adulting and with good pay and great benefits and, you know, kind of on the party plan for college. You know, I originally never thought I would have even made it to grad school because I was a C student and I didn't like school. But working in higher ed, there's probably no way of getting away with not getting a degree because everybody is in your face about it between coworkers and bosses and things like that. So on the party plan, I finished my associate's degree and my bachelor's, and that took me like 9 years. And then I moved on and went and got my MBA in entrepreneurship because I knew that I liked kind of being independent and not answering to anybody. I don't do well with authority. And I had graduated grad school around in 2012 also. So it was like a very big year. Like I finished all of this formal education that took me a freaking eternity to complete. And then I finally had time to myself. And I feel like when I graduated is when shit got real. And it got real for me because I was no longer like busy with school and work. It consumed me all the time. And now I'm sitting there like with my shitty feelings about myself. And it's very much in my face. And I had time to like really reflect about my unhappiness. Fast forward to this event one night. I'm in a relationship. I'm not happy. I suspect that my boyfriend is cheating on me. He gets home really late. I'm pissed off. We have a blowout. Now I'm sobbing in the living room on the floor of my apartment. It's like 2-3 in the morning. I'm sobbing. I'm looking out. Like I remember just like being on my knees, looking out the sliding glass door and looking up at the sky and just being like, God, what the fuck? Like, I don't deserve this. I know that I am a good human being. Like, I don't get it. Like, what is wrong with me? Why do I end up in these relationships where I'm not appreciated? I'm like needy. I don't get the love and support that I need. I end up with just like all of this crap and I'm sick and tired. And I knew, like, thankfully, I feel like my higher self was like, girl, like, you deserve so much more. And you do deserve love and you do deserve happiness. And, you know, it's time. It's time to do something about it. And at that point, I remembered that the person that led the sacred meditation circles that I was attending was a spiritual counselor. And I had attended, I had received, like, gone to a therapist before a few times, and I never found it beneficial. Also, I believe that kind of therapy is like books. You know, sometimes you're just not ready for that book yet, but it comes at the right time. I decided to call him the next day, and I was just like, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Something needs to give. I know I am not a bad human being, and I just want to be happy and I want to be loved. That's it. What the hell? Like, connect the dots for me. And after taking that step that required a lot of courage and putting my foot down and just saying enough is enough, I need to shift things and I don't know how, but I'm gonna figure this out. Finally, relief was in the air. And just within the first month of spiritual counseling, I was mind blown at the aha moments and everything that started kind of unraveling for me. And that was the big difference for me, is that I wasn't doing traditional psychotherapy. It was spiritual counseling, which not required, but involved a lot of inner child work. And holy cow, I had like a million wounded inner children running my life. I am definitely going to have that spiritual counselor on this show as probably, I haven't asked him yet, but as one of the first people that I want to interview, because it was life-changing. I don't know if it's because he was traditionally trained, on top of adding all of the intuitive work on top of it. So being able to address inner children, which is not necessarily like woo-woo, that is part of regular therapy, but also like handling past lives and inner child regressions, where you're, you know, requires like hypnotherapy techniques to be regressed, and having his own guides like guide him during our sessions, and just having kind of more divine intervention and guidance during our stuff, my therapy sessions. It was just like ridiculous. The level of how effective it was. So anyways, that journey began, and I wanted to be like a straight A student. I'm like, no, I don't want to be in therapy forever. And it's cute how we think we can control this. But I was like, no, I'm going to do all my homework, whatever he tells me to do, whatever he tells me to read. I am fucking there. This is shit. This is going to happen. I am going to try not to resist, no matter how hard it gets and how angry. Like, it's just, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that I heal and heal fast, because I don't want to stay in this space forever. And I would have an app on my phone where I would take notes about every single time that I was triggered between sessions, so I can bring it in to the session and dissect it. And I had my notebook, and I would journal about the triggers. Like, I was totally, I don't know, it was like the Virgo in me, but I just really desperately wanted to not blow so much money on therapy, which means that if I'm a good student, I don't have to be here that long. Again, all of this backfired, by the way. Long story short, that was the spiritual counseling component. And it took a few years. It took quite a few years to get through everything. There's a lot of mom issues, a lot of dad issues, other issues going on, past life things I worked through. But it changed everything. I saw little by little that the more work I did on myself, the quality of the people and experiences that I was having were improving exponentially. And now I was no longer dating, you know, very narcissistic or codependent morons. But instead, I was dating more like great people that just weren't a good fit for me, and try it out and then work on and then meet somebody else, and it was all good. It wasn't like this toxicity anymore. It was just like two adults just be like, all right, let's see if this works out. Oh no, it didn't. Awesome. You're still cool. We're friends. Good luck. Have a great life. And then the other part that was a nice gift was that I hadn't realized also that I struggled in my relationships with women. And a lot of this was just because I don't have a tight relationship with my own mother. And so I didn't know really what a healthy relationship with another woman looked like. And so my female friends also, those relationships also improved. And obviously if you haven't, what am I trying to say? When you go on your healing journey and you're working on yourself, your relationships and the people you surround yourself by, they switch. Like, all of a sudden you have like one group of friends, and the next thing everybody's just dropping off, because energetically now you're in a different place. You see things a different way. You're no longer jiving energetically. So usually a lot of relationships unravel, explode, or disappear. And at one point you're like, oh my God, I have no friends. I'm in this weird, awkward space where, and you're just in this like transition between vibrations. I was you know, girlfriends that were, I mean, that I wasn't getting along with anymore, just didn't jive with, those relationships fell apart. And then I gained new ones and I gained amazing friends, and I was able to connect much deeper to other women, which really nourished me in a way that I didn't even know I needed. Like the beauty of a relationship between women, that sisterhood, that nurturing, just like a really healthy, positive female relationship was, it just so good for the soul. It really, really, really is. And I had spent most of my life being, you know, one of the guys, always had more guy friends than girlfriends, and being a hard ass and being stoic, and it doesn't really work. And that wasn't working for me. But once I was on this healing journey, all of that switched, and that was a beautiful gift because I didn't know that was going to be a thing. In addition to the spiritual counseling, I also started exploring different modalities and healing for myself, like Reiki and reading books. And what else did I do? Taking intuitive, like courses to develop your intuition. So I became a Reiki master. Then I did a course on angel intuitive healing for about like a year and a half. And that deserves its own episode because that's kind of the story of how I went from being atheist to agnostic, essentially, was through that accidental journey of that class. That class was only supposed to be like a little month long course, and somehow it turned into a year and a half certification program. And it was fantastic. And thanks to that class is how I opened up my intuition and I'm able to do readings now. But that was another great experience that I had. And then I did other things until eventually I came across shamanism. And in shamanism, man, it just resonates with me so much. And there's many ways you can experience a shamanic practice. And I guess it reminds me of more of, in Wicca or witchcraft, they say you can be like a solo practicing witch. You don't necessarily need a coven or something really formal. And I feel like I'm very much kind of like that solo practicing shaman where I do my own thing. And it kind of resonates with the vibe of the spiritual church I'm a part of, where I'm a minister, which is Metis Assigned Spiritual Center. And essentially the premise of universalism is like, take the best and leave the rest. So a shamanism for me has kind of been similar. I don't practice any particular specific tradition within the realm of shamanism, but man, the tools have been just pivotal in my healing journey. So that's really the premise of my own toolbox. It's like shamanic tools, like shamanic journeying and soul retrieval and drumming and just using different tools together with the spiritual counseling and then communicating with my guides. That has been like the perfect trifecta for me anytime I'm struggling with things. So over the course of the years, between therapy and shamanic journeying, I was able to really help myself big time. I feel like when like the spiritual counseling would help like integrate things from a more, I guess, professional perspective, and also connecting the dots maybe that you might be too deep in to see. And then the shamanic journeying would just take everything to a much deeper, more effective level. And I would journey before my sessions and after sessions to just work on things. And a lot of the time I would journey on a problem, access all this new information, and then take that to my spiritual counselor. And then the results were that instead of maybe me working through something for months, it was like one session, because I was able to use that tool to really deepen my understanding of what was going on, as well as release any energetic blocks. And it was just, that's been my perfect combination for me. And that's essentially how I like to help other people. So shamanism was another tool. So now I've come to a place in my life where I saw the benefit of all the different tools that I came across over the course of the years that really helped me become who I am and helped me achieve kind of the level of empowerment that I have now, and confidence and inner peace. And that's what I want to give to other people, is to have this podcast be a platform where I provide information on many healing modalities or transformational tools or stories, because what worked for me may not work for you. So I want to be able to have in one place as many amazing tools that are out there, because it's infinite. I mean, the amount of stuff that is out there and healing modalities and tools and certifications and trainings, and just everybody has created like so much magic that helps so many people. And we only hear of like the main, like the popular mainstream ones, but there's so many other in between that have helped people. And I want to make sure that I bring that information to you guys. And so essentially, I want to bring it to you for the purpose of healing. Maybe it's a tool that you can use or that you need, or maybe it's a career change for you. And maybe it drives with you so much that you're like, this is what I want to do, and this is how I want to help people. And you pursue it as a thing, either way, or maybe both, the same, you know, the way it was for me. And so energy healing and shamanism and all these things were things that worked for me as tools that I needed. Now there are things that I use to help other people. That, my friends, in a nutshell, is the whole story. I was able to really, you know, by reasons unknown to me, wake up in 2012. And if you're already in the world of spirituality, you know that a lot of stuff energetically happened around 2012. And coincidentally, that's when things opened up for me. It just was crazy. And I can't tell you, like, I've been talking like, oh my God, super deep. Like all this stuff has been like, you know, gut-wrenching, emotional, shadow work. But man, let me tell you, I have had so much fun. I feel like my life was like not mine, and like cloudy. And like before those years, I was like, yeah, I had a good time and I was doing stuff and accomplishing things and whatever. But man, life got freaking delicious after 2012, despite all the like difficult work I was doing emotionally while trying to keep it together at work, mind you, because those two are fucking hard. But man, I had a great time. I've just met like my tribe and my people, just fascinating souls and relationships that, you know, make me cry because they're so beautiful. The type of heart-to-heart sharing that we have, stuff I never thought was even possible. Like, I just didn't grow up in an environment that way. And it's just been fucking delicious. I can't say, I just don't know what else to say about it. Like, that's the best way I can describe it, is wow, 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 wow. And so I'm so grateful that just things have worked out the way they have. And funny story. So there's the friends that I've had for a long time. They know me as like pre-Natalie, like pre-2012 Natalie, post-2012 Natalie. And the pre-2012 Natalie could not hug people. I was that girl or that person that like you hug them and they give you like a really shitty hug back because they're not comfortable with like contact. And they would be, my friends would like make fun of me, and they would like hold on to me even longer on purpose to make me even more uncomfortable. But I was like the one that gave like the double tap on the back, never fully embraced you. Like you can feel the space between like the two bodies because like my butt was sticking out, and I was just like really bad. Because at hugs, and essentially this I realized later is that a lot of it is because I'm an empath, and a lot of the reason why I was such a like cold and, you know, entre comillas, quote unquote, stoic kind of bitch was because I felt so deeply everyone and everything that it was overwhelming to my nervous system. And for me, my intuition also kicks in really hard when I touch people. I collect even like more information, and it just becomes really overwhelming. And till this day, like now I can hug people, but I'm still not like a touchy-feely person. Like I'm affectionate with my partner, but that's about it. Like I'm really big about boundaries and not being like all up in people's energy fields because it's just too much for me. You know, and so for me, it was like this self-defense mechanism. And then I ended up in this yoga studio around 2014, 2015, where all they did was fucking hug you all the time. And I was like, oh my God, get me out of here. And then if they weren't hugging you, they were like holding your hand. And I'm just like, what is happening? Why are you touching me so much? It wasn't anything like weird or creepy. They were just like, they're one of their like weapons, I feel, in that studio was to like break you down, which they did to me very well. And I did it like they wouldn't talk. They weren't dropping like wisdom. They were just really good at holding space and making you feel seen and heard. And, you know, and when you were just talking or they were checking up on you, they would just like hold your hand and look into your soul. And then you would just want to cry and lose your shit. Like that was just the premise of like every meeting. And I was just sitting there and I would be like, why? What is happening? Like, and why? What is it with these people? It freaking worked, man. After like 3 months, I was finally like comfortable, you know, with all the touchy-feeliness. It was crazy. And they broke me down. They really did. And I learned how to hug. So now I'm very proud of my hugs when I give them. Again, I don't really go out chasing people to hug them. And my coworkers can attest to that. But my close friends, when they need a good hug, now I can finally like give one in return and hold space for you. And now I know how to have, you know, to be grounded and firm in my energy so I can hold space for you. And now even, you know, let a hug be a healing moment energetically. The other weird thing was that, okay, and so you might laugh, but whatever it is, what it is. So the other thing that I found really strange is that like when women would be talking and then they would like hold each other's hand. Again, I know I'm Hispanic, but I'm like in the only Hispanic family where people are not like, we're just not warm. We're not a warm Hispanic family, which is kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't remember. But so yeah, so that whole thing of like women like having a conversation and then the other one reaches over and takes the other one's hand and they're like, I'm so sorry, honey, that you're going through this. And then they stay holding hands. What the fuck is that? That was not like, I'm like, how do you people do this? And man, and it's not that like I didn't welcome it if somebody did it to me, but like the idea of me doing that for something, like for somebody else was like so weird. That was something else I had to like mindfully accomplish and like work on and get comfortable with. It's not like I do it all the time, don't get me wrong. But like I remember that like even something as like basic right, and human as that, especially for women where that kind of stuff comes naturally, I had to teach myself to do those types of like compassionate things. And that I felt like Sheldon from the Big Bang Theory, where he was like, oh my God, someone's crying. Now I have to like offer a warm beverage because this is the protocol for being, you know, for comforting another human being. And it was very much like a cerebral method that he had to try to be like warm. So yeah, so that's what I got, how I got there finally. So yeah, so that's just kind of like the before and afters and like the random things that kind of were the benefit of my transformation, and the friends of mine that can attest to what it used to look like and where I am now. So yeah, so I'm gonna end with that story. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure that you hit subscribe if you enjoyed this. Also, stay in touch on Instagram. My Instagram handle is Natalie1Love. So Natalie, N-A-T-A-L-I-E, the number one, and then the word love. Same for the website. And I can't wait to talk to you guys again. All right, I'm out. Take it easy, guys. Bye.